Lifeway Leadership Podcast Network. You're listening to the newchurches.com Q&A podcast. New Churches is an online hub for the mission of church multiplication. Here you'll find the resources and training you need to get started, as well as a community of church planting and multi-site experts to help you thrive. My name is Daniel Lim, and today we have a very special episode for you. Your feed is probably filled with coronavirus, COVID-19, what's going on, and there's a lot that is coming out. Yet recently, Ed went on Facebook Live and had an incredible talk that if you haven't yet listened to, we wanted to bring it specifically to you, our podcast family. So buckle up, and here is Ed talking about how as a church we should respond to the coronavirus.
Hi everybody, Ed Stetzer here, and I try not to play the, hey, this is a really, really important thing, but as I was praying last night and this morning, I wanted to share something with you that I think is super important. After I preached it, I was at City Church in Chicago and Moody Church. We recorded the City Church one, and then Moody Church was live streamed. I guess they're all live streamed. But I got a text from one of the key leaders, one of the elders at Moody Church, and said, you know, Ed, this is probably this message may be the reason God had you here. And I just kind of feel like, and I want to share a little bit about this. I just want to, that a lot of pastors right now are rightfully freaked out, and I get that. But it's time to move on from the freak out of church practices, because we've got a real crisis coming very, very soon. And do me a favor, just like and share this. No one's selling anything here. There's nothing other than I want to try to help some pastors and church leaders, because I think that right now we have been rightfully absorbed. I'm not saying it was wrong. Week one, was it 8 days ago now? People were rushing to figure out how to get online. Week two, maybe we've kind of, you know, perfected that, and it's a much better place and space. But I want to tell you, this is not the crisis. We're not in the crisis. The crisis is coming. It's weeks away. And I don't think that pastors, church leaders are really geared up to the reality of this, okay? So we heard the Surgeon General this morning say that this is going to get bad this week. Let me tell you, just probably, you know, who knows, maybe this will change, but probably somebody you know this week is going to be diagnosed with coronavirus. I have someone I know who has been. Next month, what does that mean? Probably, doesn't mean for sure. Someone you know is going to die from coronavirus. Now, I think pastors are not tracking, and church leaders are not tracking with where we need to be. This is not a crisis of online church. This is not a crisis of streaming, though all those things are real. I would say to you, we don't want to push those things aside, but I want you to know that this is a crisis that's about to be impacted directly in your communities. It's going to impact your church. It's going to impact your people. It's going to take your community and more, and you need to be ready for that. Now, we've all seen this curve, and I recognize, by the way, you can tell I'm broadcasting literally from my basement, right? So, but we've all seen this curve. Let's take a look at it for just a second, right? We've all seen this. Right. So this is the curve we're trying to flatten. This is Italy right now. This is where we're going unless something changes. And can I tell you, it's not working in Italy. Right. That's what they're saying right now, is that the isolation measures are not working right now. We've seen Hong Kong get through it, and now it's bounced back in Hong Kong. OK, so this right here, this is where we are right now. I think we need to realize that we're about to enter into a crisis that the healthcare workers in our church are going to experience. We're about to enter into a crisis that people are going to get sick, poor people are going to be marginalized, and more. And I think right now we have, and I'm not mad at anybody, I think we have done what we felt we needed to do, which was to get online and communicate with our people. And you need to do that. You need to do more of that. And you need to connect to people and more. But I want you to hear that there's a few things going on. First, there is still misinformation, a lot of times coming from evangelicals. I see it. I tweeted last night that very phrase that somebody next week, you know, is going to probably be diagnosed, and somebody next month, you know, is probably going to die. It doesn't mean you, it doesn't mean everybody, but and someone says, oh, these numbers, there's only one out of a million, and you click on the link and they're listening to the same irresponsible news sources that a few weeks ago caused some of my relatives to think, oh, it's fine, it's no big deal, we're visiting, we're going to this place and that place looking for Lysol, we're visiting all the stores, and they're in their 70s. And I want you to know that I recognize that somehow we have just allowed things to just be communicated on here. Christians, you need to speak to one another and stop this. Okay, so where we're headed, you know, many of you are right now moving to that online transition, but a couple of weeks ago, I met with the Surgeon General. We were actually meeting with about HIV/AIDS, and the topic turned to coronavirus. And he said, we're going to need the church. And right now, we need the church to be a part of this. And I've laid out what I think are some coming phases of the coronavirus crisis. And I need you to kind of think through with me what you're going to do. And you need to get out of phase one. You need to get out of phase one. Phase one, right, is real clear, real simply. It's pause and pivot. Matter of fact, I think what I'll do is I'll put this over here. I'm using Facebook Live. It's not always the greatest thing for, and I'm doing it from my basement. I've got to learn more how to do this in a way that I can pull up these slides and go from there. But right now, we're in phase one, right? Pause and pivot. And that's what you're doing. And I get it. And I'm thankful. But you can't stay there. We can't say we've got to move forward into the subsequent phases if we're going to lead well through this crisis, right? I'm going to put I'll share this whole thing with you. If you go to the Christianity Today article that I'll link here, and if one of my staff's listening, just put that Christianity Today article I just published. We've got to prepare and plan. Okay, you can't see it, but you'll be able to download it. Communication, corporate worship, giving, great, but small giving. This is the things you're changing. What needs to change? How does it change? Who needs to lead the change, right? We've got to do and know those things. That's great. That's important. But that's still not the crisis. That's preparing for the crisis, right? I've listed some best practices. I've listed some pastoral care practices. Josh Laxton and I put this together. I've listed things you need to do. Good neighbor, how to be a good neighbor. I'll put all this online. But right, we got to get there. But here's the thing. We've got to get to phase two now, not a week from now. Because this week, the Surgeon General says it's going to get bad. And in 3 weeks, we're tracking right behind Italy. And we're talking a lot of people dying and afraid, isolated from one another, the poor, the marginalized, the homeless, those struggling with mental illness, and our churches need to get ready. And I don't think we're ready yet. So phase two, prepare and plan so we can get to phase three, right? I'm going to put this all at that Christianity Today article. Phase three, engagement. We need to engage and execute our plans. Right now, this week, you need to be asking, what are we going to do if we start to hear of people dying in our community, people get more afraid? How are we going to deal with food insecurity? How are we going to deal with people who, and you can do this right now. You can start right now. We're right now, I've talked to my family. We're going to use one of our cars for this. We're going to start sharing some food, taking some food, delivering some food. If you listen to the podcast, go to coronavirusandthechurch.com, coronavirusandthechurch.com. And there's a podcast there called, right now it's season one is leading in the coronavirus crisis. And I've asked pastors and leaders what they're doing. Matthew Barnett, when he talks about what they're doing at the Dream Center in LA, super important. I talked to Pastor Wilfredo de Jesus Choco about how to mobilize the church. We need you to be mobilizing the church right now. Now, again, this is really key because on Sunday I wanted to say we've been pausing. And right now everybody's focusing, are we going to be online? It's great you're online. If you're not online, get online. But that's not the crisis. You can't meet in large groups. That's not the crisis. Even your giving right now, that's not the crisis, right? But that's all going to be real to us, but it's not the crisis that will be the defining crisis of our lifetime. I'm not an alarmist. 3 weeks ago, people were saying this is, well, a certain slice of society was saying this is no big deal. Everybody thinks this is a big deal. You need to listen to the Congressman, Mark Walker, I talked to on the podcast, and he said, this will be the biggest disruption in our lifetime since World War II, he said. So, and so I don't want you to miss those things, right? So phase three has got to be ready. That's 2 weeks away. It's actually in some ways already in place in Seattle and in the Northwest, but it's not gotten as bad as it's going to be. We're going to do a webcast with Christ together a little later this week. And we're talking to people in Italy and Spain, right? They're in the midst of the crisis that is coming our way. And I think we've got to stop focusing on internal delivery systems. Get those done tomorrow. And we got to start focusing on external mission. In John chapter 20, well, let me get to part four here, because I want you not to miss this too, right? And I've got all this information. We'll share this with you. Phase four is recover and reemerge. We will recover. The Spanish flu was worse than this, and churches recovered. Our society recovered. And right now, the things that you do today will impact how ultimately you will recover tomorrow. So I really want to encourage you to take this as seriously as you should. And also, too, remember, the Surgeon General specifically says we're going to need churches to help with this. I posted the article, Christianity Today. I got to add this PowerPoint to it, and I will. But let me also say to you this. I think this is our moment. This is our time. This is the time to show and share the love of Jesus. I wrote in USA Today last week, and I'll post that article as well so you have it. I wrote in USA Today last week that this is the time for us to show and share the love of Jesus. But I'm saying this because I'm concerned that people I love and people I care for, I love pastors. My life in ministry has been devoted for the last decades to pastors and church leaders. And I want to say to you, you've got to move from pause and pivot. You should have pivoted already. If you didn't pivot, pivot today. And you've got to move to planning. You've got to move to what's coming next in this crisis. As I wrote in USA Today, I didn't quote this quite right the last time, but let me make sure I quote it correctly this time. Eusebius, fourth century, we've all heard, everyone's brought up the plagues and how Christians, this is not going to be like a plague, but how Christians have responded well. But right now, Eusebius wrote of the fourth century, I want us to be working in such a way that the Christians, quote, deeds were on everyone's lips and they glorified the God of the Christians. Stop having arguments with people who are getting online and saying, this is no big deal. This is a big deal. It's time to move on to what are we going to do about it. So I am concerned. I am there. Good. My staff is actually posting some of these things that I mentioned. I am concerned that many of our churches are not displaying an appropriate level of urgency right now. If you agree, take a moment, like and share, because people need to hear this, right? This is not, okay, now we're all going to shelter in place. It's too late. Testing came too late. There are perhaps hundreds of thousands of people who are already sick. Those are not my words. I'm not some alarmist in a basement. Well, I'm in a basement and I'm alarmed, but I'm not some conspiracy. This is what Dr. Fauci is saying. This is what Surgeon General Adams is saying. This is what the Trump administration is saying. This is not a hoax. Okay, you've got to communicate this to your church. If you didn't preach that this weekend, you need to preach that next weekend. How are we? And here's the deal. We don't need to run away. We don't need to hide. We can't, right? Right now, we're at full social distancing. Let's call it relational distancing, right? We're at full relational distancing. But right now, there are people in my community and our school districts are geared up and the government's geared up and they're going to need people to deliver. Contact your local government. How can I help? You can do it safely. You can stay 6 feet away from people, but the church needs to rise up. And I'm just burdened. I don't think I've ever been this burdened. The Lord just kept me up. I am burdened that for you, and for me, we are focusing on how will our church do this or that. And right now, the Lord's calling us to ask, how will he send us into our community? I shared Sunday from John 20, 21. It's my favorite verse in the whole New Testament. As the Father has sent me, even so send I you. It's my life. It's my ministry. It's about mission. Too many churches right now are on pause, and they need to be on mission. Let me say it again. You got to get off pause. Too many churches are on pause. They need to be on mission right now. We've got resources at coronavirusinthechurch.com, but we're going to start changing those, right? We've had a lot of articles. They're all flying by you. I see them as well, right? How to get online, what you need to know, and all this stuff is important, right? That's why we launched this podcast. But right now, I'm asking my team, we've had good resources. I'm asking my team to prepare for what's coming 2 to 3 weeks from now, which will be a real crisis where people are dying And listen, and again, this is not Ed Stetzer's words. These are the words coming out of the NIH, the CDC, the HHS, and we need to take those words seriously. And if you are, praise God for you. I'm not mad at anybody. Please hear my elevated voice as a concern that churches are right now saying, how do we save ourselves? And I want to say to you, that's the wrong question. The question is not, how do we save our churches? Those are valuable, though. Those are important. The question is, how do we join Jesus on mission in this crisis? In John 20:19, it says the disciples were behind closed doors because of their fear. They were afraid of the Jewish leaders going to arrest them. So then it says, Jesus came and stood among them. Peace be with you. One time he says it. In verse 21, he says it again. If Jesus says something once, you better be paying attention. When he says something twice, you better be completely tuned in. We need peace that passes all understanding. The disciples were behind closed doors, not the same situation. They were behind closed doors in fear. A lot of God's people are unsure what they can do. Pastors and church staffs, we need volunteers. We need you to lead and to lead well right now, not tomorrow, in this crisis. So pause and pivot is done. If you need one more day, take one more day, right? Pause and pivot has to be done. We've got to get to now, the preparation of the crisis that is 2-3, if we flatten the curve, maybe 4 or 5 weeks. Here's the deal. I'll leave this up. If I'm wrong in 2 months, and we're not in the middle of the most significant crisis of our lifetime, you can point tweets to it. You can say, look, Ed Stetzer was an alarmist. Ed Stetzer overreacted. But let me just tell you, also overreacted. The NIH, the CDC, the HHS, and everybody else. But churches right now, I think in a lot of places, aren't yet where they need to be. Lead well, pastors. Let's jump into this crisis, showing and sharing the love of Jesus and more. Let me tell you again, like and share, if you don't mind. Let me say one last thing, right? John 20:19-21, my favorite verse, right? So verse is 19, behind closed doors for fear. Verse 20, peace be with you. Jesus says it again. Verse 21, peace be with you. And then he says, as the Father has sent me, so send I you. Sisters and brothers, we had this missional church thing for 10, 15 years now. Maybe you got on the train, maybe you didn't like it so much. But for all of us, this is our call. This is our moment to show and share the love of Jesus. As the Father has sent me, not sent me to hide, not locked me away, not put me behind closed doors, as the Father has sent me, even so send I you. We need Christians. Let's go to my favorite verse in the Old Testament. It's Isaiah 6:8. It says in Isaiah 6:1, in the year King Uzziah died, we don't know the magnitude of a king dying today. It doesn't make as big of a deal, but the kingdom was in tumult. He has this vision in verses 2, 3, 4, and following. And in verse 8, God speaks, who will go for us? Whom shall we send? And Isaiah says, here I am, Lord, send me. So I want you to do the things that you need to do, right? You've got people in your church who are isolated because of, they might have pre-existing conditions or comorbidity factors. Get them on the phone to call and care for everybody else. Care for the widow, the orphan, those without in your congregation. The one another, it's in scriptures, are clear. Care for people. But then, pastor, church leader, right now, you need to be saying to your staff, okay, what do we need to do when an outbreak hits our community and people start dying and people are isolating enough to the point where there's food insecurity, where they're without things? I'm not saying the social grid's going to collapse, right? I don't think that the power's still going to stay on, the water's still going to stay on, and if I'm wrong, I'll be wrong on a lot bigger things, right? I don't think the social grid's going to collapse, but right now, marginalized people have no way to get help and food that we're storing and we're finding, and we bought at Costco and more. We got to mobilize. The government's going to mobilize. We got to mobilize the people of God. This is our moment. If we show and share the love of Jesus well, and we'll be actually creating more resources at the Billy Graham Center for that. If we show and share the love of Jesus well, then 2 months from now when we emerge from this crisis, or 2 years from now when we emerge from this crisis, we will recover. We will reemerge. I want the words that Eusebius said about the fourth century Christians, that the Christians' deeds were on everyone's lips, and they glorified the God of the Christians. This is our moment, sisters and brothers, to show and share the love of Jesus in the midst of a very frightening time for a lot of people. Let me encourage you. Coronavirus and the Church.com is a partnership with Saddleback's Peace Plan, the Humanitarian Disaster Institute. Got a guide for your church from the Humanitarian Disaster Institute. Got a link for what's coming up. We're doing a broadcast, HDI is, a partnership with the National Association of Evangelicals, right? We've got the preparing resources, but the resources, I love every tech person. You've been the hero for the last 2 weeks. Thank God for our creative volunteers, our tech volunteers. Thank God for camera people and for streaming people. And we're still gonna need you. But this can't be our crisis. It's not a crisis of streaming. It's a crisis of fear, a crisis soon of sickness and sometimes death. And it's a crisis for the marginalized far more than it's probably a crisis for you and me. If you agree and you want to share this with others, take a moment, like, and share. Go to coronavirusandthechurch.com. Let me ask my team to post that there again. Coronavirusandthechurch.com. The article, post that one more time, team, if you don't mind. The article I just wrote, you can share with others. Let me ask my team, Josh, if you'd put the PowerPoint that you created, Josh Laxton and I worked on this together. You can use this in your church. You can use this with your teams. Okay, you're getting 500 emails a day from everybody telling you everything that maybe you already know. Maybe just one thing I can say through all the noise is, this is not the crisis. And if this is not the crisis, you need to prepare for it. And then you need to engage it. And if you engage it well, you will show and share the love of Jesus to the marginalized, to the hurting, to your own congregation. And then indeed, we will recover and we will reemerge. And my prayer is that Christians will have shown themselves who they really are. Pastors and church leaders, I love you. Keep looking to our resources. We're actually preparing now resources on how to deal with a significant number of deaths in your community. We're preparing resources on how to address the love of Christ in a time when not just we're talking about a pandemic in Europe. Sisters and brothers, unless we flatten the curve, and so far it hasn't seemed to be working, we are 3 weeks away from Italy. And so if that's where we are, let's be ready. This is our moment. Here I am, Lord. Here we are. Send us. Father, I pray for pastors and church leaders that this message might not be a message of panic, but preparation, that this time might be a time when we move from the pause and the pivot, when our number one focus is no longer how do we take care of our congregations, though that matters. How do we take care of the finances, though that matters. But that will not be our primary consideration in a short amount of time, Lord. May you prepare us for that. May your people stand up. May your people be mobilized. And as the words of Jesus resonate through our heart, as the Father has sent me, so send I you. May we say, here I am, Lord, send me. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. We're going to keep broadcasting, sharing some resources. Go to coronavirusandthechurch.com, our partnership with Rick Warren, Saddleback Peace Plan, the Humanitarian Disaster Institute, and the Billy Graham Center. But folks, the crisis is not here. This is not a streaming crisis. This is not a meeting crisis. This is not a what are we going to do to make sure that our church has everything that it needs crisis. This is a crisis that ultimately is where we expend ourselves for the glory of God, because this is not our home. We're citizens of the kingdom of heaven. And we say, yes, Lord, here I am, send me. Thanks for listening to this Facebook Live. We're going to share more. Again, go to the Christianity Today article that I just published, which goes through the four-step plan, and hopefully it'll be a help to you. Thank you so much.
Thanks again for tuning into the New Church's Q&A podcast. If you're wondering how the coronavirus and COVID-19 is affecting multiplication, church planting, all the sorts, just send your questions in, whatever questions you have on church planting, multi-site, multiplication, leadership development, discipleship. It doesn't have to be coronavirus related, but if you do have questions particularly about that as well, you can just send that in at speakpipe.com/newchurches. So speakpipe.com/newchurches if you're on your mobile device, or if you're on your computer, just go to newchurches.com, hit the sidebar on the right that says send a voicemail, send that in, and we would love to answer it. All right, thanks again for listening in, and we'll catch you next time. It is now well known that planting new churches and campuses is the most effective way of reaching the lost, and launching in rented venues like schools or theaters is one of the most cost-effective ways to launch a new church. So if you're planning a launch or trying to figure out how to do church well in rented venues, we encourage you to check out our friends at Portable Church. The team at Portable Church Industries takes your vision and creates engaging environments that keep volunteer retention high and allow more energy to be spent on ministry. Go to portablechurch.com/lifeway to learn more and find free customized resources that teach how to launch portable and strong.